to hear
Blog Talk Radio.
The show is...
Goodness sakes alive, everything was playing on the second. Welcome to another session of Read the Word. And we're glad to have you with us. Of course, I'm recording this at night, but hopefully you're doing it first thing in the morning in your devotions. And we're making up some of these that we're behind on. And I encourage you to spend a little extra time going through them so that you go all the way through the Bible with us, clear to the last verse of the Bible. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let me remind you, click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell on YouTube and on Blog Talk Radio so that you can be a part of every time we have a program here. Now, of course, Read the Word is supposed to be every day. And we just got challenged in this last couple of months with some extra assignments from God. Doesn't mean you don't do God's work. Means your status saying, no, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. Next thing you know, it begins to happen. Remember, don't speak what you have, speak what you want. There's a whole lot of people speaking what they have, and then you just keep getting it. Speak what it is you want. Mountain move, victory come, answers be, healing your mind. Speak what you want, and that's what will come to you. So we've been speaking life and life more abundantly. And it is happening. Many, 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 many great victories coming to us. And so we're glad that you are a part of that today. Now, I'm going to start. Our reference tonight is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 through 9. But I want to start with a part of the Christmas story. I love this part of the Christmas story. So open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going from verse 26 through 38, and then 45. Luke 1, 26 through 45. And the story of the angel speaking to Mary about Jesus. You ready? Let's hold our Bible up, make our confession. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what it says I am, what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I go do what he tells me to do.
I go do what he tells me to do.
Tonight we will read the Word of God.
Tonight we will read the Word of God.
And the Word of God will change my life.
And the Word of God will change my life.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Luke chapter 1, we are now going to verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God, not Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the captain of the host. Jesus is in the womb. He ain't telling angels what to do in that womb. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city named Galilee of Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And she most certainly is blessed among women. 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now, every Jewish girl heard the story of the angels and Abraham, the angels and Isaac, the angels and Jacob and Joseph, and the angels all the way through the history of the children of Israel. So an angel's not a new thought to her. It's just a new thought because that angel's standing right across from her. All right. Angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. I know I'm shining and I'm glistening and I'm glowing, but you're all right. For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. and of his kingdom there will be no end. And you and I are in that kingdom today, and there will be no end to this kingdom. Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be? I don't know, man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come up on you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, whose womb was called barren. Verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And she was pregnant, and the angel departed from her. She went to Mary, she went to Elizabeth, and verse 41, it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Woo! Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Verse 45, Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Do you have a promise from God for your children? This verse just says to you right now, blessed is she who believes. Because what God said will be fulfilled in your life in Jesus' mighty name. I love it. It's one of the greatest stories of faith. Mary just looked at the angel and said, well, be it done to me according to the word of God. That simple childlike faith is what every one of us should be having every day in our life. And that's just simply saying, well, be it done unto me according to your holy word, God Almighty. I just believe it. I just trust you. I just know that what you're telling me right now is going to come to pass about me and my children. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we're saying those words about be it done unto me according to your word. Now let's watch how that plays right into, how that works right into tonight, today's Read the Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is one of the greatest chapters of the New Testament. And we quote it almost every single day on this program. We quote one of these verses. Here we go. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. It is eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Of course, Paul's down toward the end of his ministry, and he's gone through some stuff. We saw in the last chapter, he said, we're hard pressed on every side. Yep, we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not to despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. He suffered many things because of his faith. Verse 3, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Speaking of the life everlasting. Verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord who's in heaven. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Mary said, how can this be? I've not been with a man. Walking by faith. Speak the words, Mary. Say, yes, sir. Be it done unto me. She's pregnant. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, when you and I think about this, there's a lot of people who don't get this fact about the kingdom of God. And there's some religious organizations that are really cults that will teach you there is no hell. And when you die, you're burn up, and that's it. Hell doesn't last forever. You're just burnt, crisp, ash, and it's done. But this says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're holy. But if you're not holy, it's eternal damnation. As much as there is eternal life, there will also be eternal damnation. Everyone will reap the harvest of what they sowed on the earth for eternity. Keep reading, because I could get way older than that, and we're not going to do that. The judgment seat of Christ, verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're born again and you're walking with God, you'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God. And I also trust are well known in your consciences. Make sure you walk with God. Make sure you walk with God. God has to honor your wishes. If you want to be holy like him, he honors that wish. If you don't want to be holy like him, and you choose the life of our arch enemy, the devil, even though God doesn't want you to go that way, what is he going to do? He has to honor your decision, whether it's for him or for his enemy, because we all have a free will. It's not love and it's not worship without a free will. Verse 12, no more preaching, just read. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but, excuse me, give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we're of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, notice that one is capitalized, that's Jesus, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but live for him who died for them and rose again. Verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, all of us here know each other according to the flesh. That, you know, I'll just read the names. I know Dan Cottle as Dan Cottle, and I know Galaxy Tab SX Light. That's our intergalactical Phyllis. All right. I know Sister Leanne. I know her very well. We know Mary, and we know her after the flesh. Not your soulish sin, but that's who you are. You've been named that name, okay? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. So Paul's saying, I got to meet Jesus. I saw him. The apostles all saw him. You and I've never seen him unless he's revealed himself to you. So you don't know him after the flesh. You know him in the spirit, according to the word of God. 17. Therefore, some of you, those first 16 verses are like totally confusing to you. Well, then here's what you are. Got to do. Just get it out and read it out loud and say, Father, help me understand what this means and read it out loud. And when you get done, say, Father, help me understand what this is all about and read it out loud again. Some of you have never got that persistent. I have taken certain portions of scripture and read them 150, 200 different times. Why? Because it didn't make sense. But then the revelation came. Well, Pastor, why would you have to do that? Because so much religiosity was forced down upon me. And guess what? I had to break it off by speaking that word out loud. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Say it. I am a new creation. 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only are we reconciled to Christ, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation right there at your home. You said, I have the ministry of reconciliation. And what is it? That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them and trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, that you and I can literally go to our brothers, our sisters, our family, our friends, somebody, and just say, let me help you find out who God is. Let me reconcile you. Let me get you back in perfect relationship with God Almighty. Pray this prayer with me. And that's our responsibility. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I love this verse. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. An ambassador is a governmental representative in a foreign nation of his home nation. Our home nation is heaven, and we are governmental leaders and representatives of heaven. That's why you got to open this book and find out what it says. Don't keep walking around saying, well, I'm just too dumb or stupid, too busy to understand the word of God, but at least all those guys do not get in on their shirt tail. No, you won't. You got to start getting this down inside of yourself, because you are a representative of the kingdom of heaven on this earth, every single one of us. And that's what we've been sort of speaking this whole week, that the whole body joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies produces growth of the body. Verse 21. We are pleading with you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, or to be the sin sacrifice for us. Because if Jesus had sinned, he wouldn't have been able to come back out of hell. He had to be pure. So he wasn't sin. He was the sin sacrifice, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We saw it last night. Awake to righteousness, and you will not sin. Not your righteousness. Paul said in Philippians 3, it's not my righteousness. It's his righteousness. The righteousness of faith, that you reach out and receive Jesus' righteousness. And it is more than enough to make you righteous before God Almighty. chapter 6, verse 1. Oh, I just want to preach. I'm sure you can tell, but we're going to just read. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You must be able to. He says, in an acceptable time, I've heard you. In the day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off another day. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all these things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful blessing in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, those verses could preach a long time. Verse 11. I'm in 2 Corinthians 6, 11. O Corinthians, we've spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us. You're restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? That's interesting. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. And then this is a quote from, where's this quote from? This quote is from Leviticus 26:12. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Take it apart. God will dwell in you. Not way out there and on a throne. In you. God will dwell in you. He'll walk among you. He will be our God, and we will get to be his people. 17. Therefore, come out from among them, the world. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Another of those verses that teaches us that God Almighty comes to live on the inside of us. Romans 8:11, 2 Corinthians 6:18, John chapter 17, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. It's all through the New Testament. And what you and I realize is God is longing to have a one-on-one relationship with you. And many people don't want a relationship with God. They don't mind having a relationship with church or religion, but they don't really want necessarily a relationship with God, because he might tell them to stop doing something that they don't want to stop doing. Now, for the life of me, I can't figure out what that would be, because anything God says stop doing it, that's going to just be a severe blessing to you. Even the ones that are very difficult for you to change, just stop doing it, because he knows what he's talking about. Oh, but I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, you and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. That's amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 3 more chapters to go. Lord, have mercy. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, your actions, and spirit. Whoa, that's now your intentions. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We've wronged no one. We've corrupted no one. We've cheated no one. I do not say to this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. It is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Look at Paul said. Inside were fears. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit of power. I was with you in much fear and much trembling. So obviously, Paul had some fears that he had to deal with in front of the Corinthian church, and yet he didn't disguise it. He didn't shy away from it. He dealt with those fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Christ. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even the more. For if I made you sorry with my first letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice that you were not made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. That's what I keep talking about. Godly sorrow produces repentance of something you're doing wrong. But worldly sorrow, it's got a spirit with it. It's designed to kill you. It'll make you sad. God don't make you sad. Kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, my dad died. I get to see him every now and then now. Seems like every night when the sky's clear and I can see a lot of stars, I'll say, hey, Dad, what are you doing tonight? Just like that, a shooting star will go across the sky. It's really cool. It's really cool. Now, do not lose your place. Verse 11, for observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence is produced in you? What clearing of yourself? What indignation? What fear? What vehement desire? What zeal? What vindication? In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I did write to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God, our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Paul's telling them, I was focused on helping all of you. Verse 13, therefore we've been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly, more for the joy of Christ, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I'm not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. And his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. Chapter 8. Now, chapter 8 and 9 is all about giving money. Let me change my position here. It's all about giving money. Two whole chapters. People say, well, sowing and reaping is not in the Bible. Two chapters about giving money to the church. So let's hear what the Holy Spirit said through Paul by the leadership of God our Father. Chapter 8. Excel in giving. Moreover, brethren, we have made known to you, we make known to you, the grace of God bestowed us on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In the middle of a severe financial battle, they liberally gave to a church that was in need. For I bear witness according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. Verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. And what's the grace? Given and taking care of someone in need. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have, out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Now, the Corinthians church had said they were going to take up an offering, and they were going to give it and go take it to some people that were in severe need. And Paul said, I'm telling you, complete the doing of what you said. Don't just say it. It's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it before God Almighty. Amen. That's why when God challenges you to tithe, and he will, and to sow a seed, and he will, make sure you do it. Make sure you do it, because you don't want to start a process of disobedience and then saying, well, whatever, I'll be all right, even though I didn't do what God asked me to do. Well, that's called searing your conscience, and that's what makes people hard-hearted. Verse 16, thanks be to God, who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. God told him to go. As we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone who should blame us in this lavish gift, which is administered by us, it must have been very sizable, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. We've sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner. And I like that. He is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. 24. Therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. They are literally taking a very large, sizable gift and giving it to this other ministry. We saw it happen on the leadership conference. First night before the service ever started, enough people had come to Dr. Barclay and said, here's a check, that they literally paid off the whole conference budget before the budget ever began. It happens. It truly happens. I'm in 8:24. Therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is literally saying, let them see it. Let them see it. That's amazing. All right, now, chapter 9 is all about sowing and giving. Ready? Now, concerning the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. I like that. I want my zeal to stir up the majority, don't you? Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me, find you unprepared, we Not to mention you would be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time to prepare your generous gifts beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it might be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Amen. Prepare your generous gift beforehand so that you don't have any obligation, grudging obligation, because God says, might as well just keep it in your pocket if you're going to do it with a grudge. Verse number 6, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace abound toward you. Think about this. How much is all grace? God is making all grace abound toward you. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, that's not even talking about holiness or righteousness. It's talking about money, sowing and reaping. As it is written, he, notice the he is capitalized, has dispersed abroad. He, capitalized, is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, this is what God's going to do for you, bread for your food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which is Jesus' righteousness. That's what our God is doing in your life and mine every single day. You and I should literally be saying, and God is making all grace abound in my life. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God for the administration of the service, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Many of them. 13, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Jesus the Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. Thank you, Father, that you are that serious with us. And by their prayer for you, for us, or you, because of the exceeding grace of God in you or in us, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift in us. We've been studying this the whole year in Ephesians chapter 4. To every one of us is given a gift. Who's it come from? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He put it in you for a specific purpose to get something done. We just read in chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9 that it is proper and it is anointed and it is blessed that you would do good to the household of faith and that you would sow a seed. Think about what Paul said. Think about what the Holy Spirit said And God is, Second Corinthians 9, verse number 8. God is able to make. Well, take the able to make out and say, I'm walking with God. God is making all grace abound toward you. You. Me. That we always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now go with me to Deuteronomy 28. I know I'm turning to another set of verses, but you just need to turn there. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Don't make me wait for you. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And when you get over here, you'll realize that we're pretty much reading the same thing that it says over here where we was just reading. Look at what it says. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. No, verse 1. It'll come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. This is his promise to you and me. I know it's Old Testament. Jesus came and redeemed us from the curse of the law, and you and I have access to this whole covenant. Look at what it says. I'm going to set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you. They'll come up on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city. Blessed in the country. You'll be blessed in the fruit of your body. The produce of your ground. The increase of your herd. The increase of your cattle. The offspring of your flocks. Blessed will be your basket and your kneading bowl. I like this one. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. God said it. God said it. The Lord will cause your enemies to come out against you, be defeated before your face seven ways. See, God's blessing is on you and I every single day of our life. And it is high time that we begin to understand just exactly what it is that God is doing in our life every day. Now, I covered so many different processes in those three chapters. That's amazing. Actually, five chapters. That's amazing. I encourage you. Some of you, money is an issue for you, and you could be offended at that. But don't be offended at money, and don't be offended at people who have it. How can you help somebody who has it if you're offended at them for having it? Can't do that. That's covetousness. Don't be covetousness. Nobody's got to give up anything so that you can have anything. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. God knows where every piece of gold is at. And if the gold rush guys up there in Alaska or wherever they are on TV would just pray, God would tell them how much gold is there and how and where to find it. So I'm doing all that work the other day. How's that? Leanne's dad there. Lee had it on. They were measuring this little vial of gold. And I'm like, you moved all of that dirt to find that little bit of gold? Oh, my goodness. I mean, I know it's a precious metal. But aren't you glad that when we mine the gold of God's holy word, we don't even have to worry about putting the dirt back, because the dirt is the soil of your heart. We throw out the rocks, get the hoe out, get the garden rake out, till it up, keep the soil of our heart wide open so that as soon as the word comes, we can just receive it. And it'll be a blessing. If this has been troubling to you, I encourage you to read chapter 7, 8, and 9. Read it right out loud. Any of you that are struggling with money and finances, read it right out loud. It'll be a blessing to you. Now, we always do this before we close because you never know who might be with us that needs to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. If you've never prayed to be born again, if you've never prayed to have Jesus come into your life or make Jesus Lord of your life, there's all kinds of those statements made. If you've never done that, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray it. The men and women of God that are with me here in the program, they're going to make the statement too. And I want you to pray it with us. And honestly, in the matter of 2 minutes, no matter who you are, if you mean this from your heart, you truly will be born again. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you, Lord.
When I believe in you, Lord.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Here's your place. Make a bold declaration. Jesus, I do believe you are the Son, the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again just for me.
And you rose again just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Welcome to the kingdom of God. We're glad to have you here. We truly are. That may be the first time you prayed that prayer, and if it is, you're experiencing something new and revolutionary right now on the inside. Some of you might say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer and I'm not experiencing anything. We'll pray it again. When we're finished, back the tape up and play it again. And when you do and you find the beginning, put a timestamp in right there for us. It's a blessing to us when you do. And here's the reality. God Almighty just came to live on the inside of you so he could lead you from the inside out, not from the heaven throne down. He's not going to move off his throne, but what's going on is by the Spirit of Almighty God, he came to live inside of you. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I and the Father and the Spirit will make our abode within you. Jesus prayed in John 17 to the Father saying, help them. We want them to be one with us. I and them, you and me, we, all of us in you, Father. So what's just gone on in your life is God came to live within you so he can direct you from the inside out. Somebody might be able to stand before God if he's standing over there. But when he's in here, nobody can stop him from directing you except you by the words you speak and the actions that you do. So speak words of life. It'll be a blessing. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to walk with God. We do. We do. Number one, click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. And realize this is a church. This is a church. And this might be a place that God wants you to call your church for a period of time. If he does, welcome. I'll be glad to be your pastor. And these guys, these men and women will be glad to be your brothers and sisters in the Lord and give you great strength and courage. The greatest way you're going to come to the understanding is that you've got to get a Bible. I recommend you get this one. It's called the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's not filled with a bunch of people's preaching and teaching. It's just filled with how the Word correlates to the other parts of the Word. I forget. And somebody told me once how many different chain references are in this Bible. I forget the number, but it's a very large number of the Word of God matching the Word of God. And once you get one of these Bibles, it might take you a little bit to study it to figure out how to use it. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's one of the most powerful tools you get. When you get your Bible, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. The teachings and life of Jesus and the beginning of the church. And God will begin to lead you in the paths of righteousness for your name, his namesake. Remember, God your Father lives in here. He's made you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And that's a pretty powerful place to be. In Jesus' mighty name. We have a playlist that comes along with Read the Word. It starts in Genesis and goes all the way through the Bible. And in the matter of 15 more days, we will have literally read the whole Bible through out loud, chronologically, in 1 year. And you'll notice as we go through it, it's not just reading the Bible and boring words. It is practical application from January 1st all the way to today. It'll be a blessing to you. Join us in the evening program, which is normally at this time right now. Join us in our Saturday night program for question and answer. Join us Sunday morning at noon Eastern for our 1 hour of faith, where we just teach a principle of faith and how to walk with God. And you'll be blessed right here with us till we see you again. No matter how much I want to preach, till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. Guys, ready? I'll give you a minute. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
Can I get a great amen?
Amen. A great amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. We'll see you soon. Now, you might say, Pastor, I want to join that group. Well, it's a Zoom link, and we'll be glad to give it to you. Make sure you shoot me an email, HG Preacher Man. My email's right down there in the comments. Thank you, Phyllis. I appreciate that. I don't want that word in my life. Send me an email. I don't want nobody shooting at me. Send me an email.
Yes.
Thank you, Phyllis. My goodness.
I was just thinking about Leanne, how much she loves you, and she needs you to be safe and careful.
Yes. Amen, Phyllis. Amen.
Amen.
Send me an email. We'll send you the link, and we'll get you hooked up. Jesus, my. And as you can see, we got a wonderful group of believers here that are very welcoming in Jesus.
God bless you and our community of faith.
In our community.
God bless all of you.
Jesus, mighty name. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, we love you. Glad to have you from around the world. Share this with anybody you know. And remember, I want to put this in your native language. I can't speak it, but you can. And God has given me a revelation of how we can make this work and get it so this is in your native language for people that's just like you to be able to hear this in a way they can understand it. Get a hold of me. My email address is right there in the details of this program. In Jesus' mighty name. See you again real soon, right here.